بسم الله، السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. What's going on? Welcome back to Young Black Muslima. This is the story and the journey of Young Black Muslima, the journey from hip hop to hip hop. Thank you guys so much for joining me. SubhanAllah, I think about how much this podcast has grown, and I'm just so grateful because it was always rooted in understanding who I was as a being and a Muslim woman, but also the story is rooted in discovery and how this podcast was even started. So we will definitely get there, and it's pretty much it's sometime down the line, but I'll tell you guys all about it. But let's just go back into YVM Side B. Like, the reason why I named this episode Side B is because, to be fair, like, P, you know, what does Allah tell us? Like, kun fa kun, be as it is, be as you are, shine like a star, because that's Allah's light in you. And by far, we have so much light that we do not let shine, that it doesn't even belong to us. It's Allah's. So I want to take you back to the point where I walked out of the establishment of the person I was working for. And, you know, here I am with an apartment in Brooklyn and just signed a sublease and not sure what to do because I already committed to and I knew these people, right? Like, I knew them. They were my friends. I didn't convert to Islam at the time, but it was coming up on that. It was probably like the year before I converted to Islam. And I just remember wanting to build with my community. So I got a little loft space. I figured out, like, you know, how to, like, earn money and, like, you know, basically pay my rent and stuff like that. I also was saving a lot, as well as just, like, working on my art and selling, you know, like, my art, selling clothes. I was doing a lot of different things, like, just trying to make, you know, that money, trying to make, like, that paycheck to paycheck, because I was really young and not sure how to, like, have a stable income at the moment, I think, because I was still trying to figure out if I wanted to finish college or if I wanted to, like, you know, just stay focused in the space I was in, like, or just stay in, you know, like, Brooklyn and, like, just discover, you know, different means of making money as an artist. And, you know, obviously, if you've lived in Brooklyn, you know, like, it's just such a creative space. So, you know, I was transported back in time. Alhamdulillah. It was like I was living in the 90s again. And, you know, I got to link up with some amazing people. We went to Nicholas BK. There was, you know, a lot of events going on there. Definitely a vibe. Just feeling like 90s, like Instant Burn and Erykah Badu, Q-Tip, Mos Def type vibe. And, you know, like, for me, hip-hop is always going to be a huge part of my journey because, like, as a Black Muslim woman, right, just as a Black woman in general, we look to hip-hop definitively to help us understand who we are, where are we in society, where are we as it pertains to our people or the Black men. And so for so long, I let that be something that defined me, right? Like, you know, as if hip-hop was the message and the messenger was still God through these people, because there were things that, like, you know, God would share the message with me or help me to pick up on little things, you know what I mean? Like Lauryn Hill, like I told you guys before, would say, you know, like, don't forget about the Deen, the Sirat al-Mustaqim. I forgot what song that was. I really forgot what song that was. Mos Def, who's now Yasin Bey, you know, like, he really intensified, like, his journey to Islam. And I think that for so long, like, he stopped making music because he didn't see if it was something he could do. And so I would say, like, within that journey, you know, I would go to legendary cyphers and, you know, on 14th Street Union Square and just spit, like, just rhyme, like, and it was something just a part of, it was like a currency for me. Like, I felt enriched being able to speak truth to power. express my worth as a woman, as a Black woman, and just really understand who I am in the midst of my development, right, in my mind, as I'm going to, you know, meet this sister in Newark and learning about Islam, and, you know, just kind of like figuring out if it's for me or not, but still understanding that as a Black woman, I come from a legacy and ancestry that is full of queens and people who led, you know, tribes and people who, you know, really valued their people and where they saw themselves and how they saw themselves. And so hip hop was a space for me to express that. So I would wear my high head wrap Dooku or my Erykah Badu. I still do, you know, to be fair, like I still do wrap my hair up and wear like my head wraps, but I do feel like for me, it's a cultural honor to do that. But I also feel like Islam is something, you know, that you really have to learn. You have to understand this perfect religion and understand what Allah is giving you, because Allah is trying to make you, it's trying to help you become your best self without removing who you are as a person, without erasing everything that has made you unique, because Allah is Ar-Rahim, right? And Rahim is, you know, the most compassionate, right? And the most compassionate is the one who gives you your gifts to worship him, subhanAllah. And shout out to Ustad Aisha for, like, you know, Sheikh Aisha for letting me know that, subhanAllah. And I feel like when I was living in Brooklyn, like, I was able to really dive deep into who I am, to know, like, yeah, I have Caribbean background, and, you know, my people were taken from their homeland, or maybe they voyaged here. Maybe my roots, right? These are things that are going on in my mind, are people who voyaged here on their own without being enslaved, and they were Muslim. And so as I was learning about Pan-African history, there was a lot of books in Nicholas Brooklyn that I had bought and went to different lectures, sat amongst different Pan-African academics. I learned a lot about who I was, and not like in the moment, but who we are as a people, like, right? Because it's really important as a Black woman, like, to know where I stand, to know who I am, and to be happy with that, and to be really, really grateful for that. And having that understanding and being able to embrace that wholly is a part of connecting to who I am and who my ancestors were, how they practiced the deen. And so learning about different people within the Nation of Islam, the Moorish Science Temple, Five Percenter, it was all really interesting journey. And I will definitely say it was a beautiful one, because I was able to really connect to how people love, how they love themselves, how they love their people, how they love Allah. And it's just something different about an MC. So it was just like a crazy period where, you know, like, I would just perform a lot. I was performing a lot in Brooklyn. I was performing a lot in just Manhattan too, like poetry live, MCing over, like, you know, freestyling over beats, like just expressing myself and being raw and being open and being a being of light and being also someone who would be darkness as well, because I didn't know anything else at the beginning of it, but at the core of it, the light would shine through and people saw that. And so, like, what I experienced, you know, like what I went through coming up and seeing my father, you know, leave my mother, seeing my mother struggle, seeing my mother being domestically abused, there was a space in my life that I felt like music could feel it, and hip hop was something that just said everything I couldn't, you know. And before I started rhyming, I realized that I had a space for it because I was in college and I met this brother, and subhanAllah, he actually, his father was Muslim, but he didn't really practice Islam. And so I saw him rapping. He was really good at it. I saw how he rhymed, and we'd go to the studio, you know, with him. And, you know, at the time, it was just, you know, something like very innocent. And I didn't know it would evolve into me becoming someone who would rap and MC. And so getting into MCing and performing on stages for like the good part of, I would say, like, I would say 6 years or seven, I would say, like, nah, about like 6 or 8 years. Oh wow, I would say 2000. Okay, no, I'm stretching it. That's about 11 years of MCing, like rapping, writing music, performing, recording, and just really discovering who I was as an artist or as a creative writer, you know. And what does that mean? Like, still searching for that to this day, but I know that it means that it's a gift from Allah. And within, you know, I would like perform different stages, you know. People be like, yo, you go hard. And oftentimes I knew I was better than like most dudes that was rhyming, and like, you know, like I could just tell when some people, even when like they're rhyming and stuff, I'm like, oh, you dry, whatever, like. But I know that because there is a certain adab that I have with this gift that I wanna be able to express myself. But at the same time, it's not about me. It's about Allah. It's about me worshiping Allah through it. And so now I'm ref this is a reflection, a current one. But at the time, it wasn't like that. It was all about me. So it was about me being able to know who I was, about me being able to express who I was, about me being able to honor who I was, right? Respect who I was, respect who I am, you know? Who was I, or who did Allah make me to be? And that's the question that I keep questioning. So it's a constant, you know, growth, and it's an experience, and it's really important to embrace it. And so whatever stage people wanted me to perform on, I did. And sometimes I would be like, nah, you know, I can't do that anymore. I have to stop and stop making music, and or maybe like it's not for me. But the for the greater time before I became Muslim, I was performing, and you know, being on stage really helped me to connect with God, because I would express the light that I know God placed in me. Like, it was a form of expression of God's light in me, like An-Nur, like Subhanallah. And when I think about it now, it's like not even a distant memory, but it's so long ago. It feels like a different lifetime, Subhanallah. And you know, reflecting upon that, I do realize that Allah has given me so much, and I want to use that gift for khair, for good, and consistently learning what that means, consistently reflecting on the expansion of that and how that helps me to really retain everything that Allah has for me and to keep it going. And so the purpose of learning about your journey and reflecting upon it is to just have gratitude towards Allah and to worship Allah and to strive towards perfection in that worship. Never to be perfect, but to always strive for it. And may Allah forgive me, because I do fail in a lot of ways. But you know, I realize that it's all a part of the journey. And you know, hip hop is a part of mine. I wouldn't say it was, but I would say is. because I do see how culturally hip hop is an understanding of how to gather, commune, and make peace. And it was the foundation of culture for me, seeing that growing up, seeing, also Rastafarian culture, like growing up around that, and like seeing that it was always about community. No matter how you looked, no matter where you came from, you were embraced. And that's a very core root of Islam. And so I do see, reflecting upon it, how Allah was just raising me up for me to learn how to speak, to, subhanAllah, express loud. I'll just take you to this time when I performed in the Bronx for the first time. I opened up for the Lost Boys. You know, the ones who sing that song, Renee, "A ghetto love is a law that we live by. Day by day, I wonder why my shorty had to die. I reminisce with my ghetto princess. Every day I give it up for my shorty." Yo, that's crazy. I literally performed for them. So I literally, it was so crazy because, well, I recall it like I was last one to perform. So I didn't perform for them. They opened for me, even though it was like five people sitting there. But that was my very first live performance. Very first one. And it was crazy because it was like a Def Jam kind of showcase thing. And I was there and I was just like, wow, this is crazy. I know these people. I know this record. And the way that I looked was just like, I looked like I was a punk girl because I definitely listen to punk music and stuff like that. And like, Whole Wheat Bread and like Black Death and all these different like metal black artists. Dope. Former expression. It was like pure rage, and it was just like crazy, a crazy time. That's like way before hip hop entered into my space, because my mom tried to like block it out. It was like, it's certain things you can't listen to. You can listen to R&B, but you can't listen to hip hop. It's too much going on, So I listened to metal and punk, and they expressed things in a way that was very much full of rage. And I don't think I had another form of expression at that time. I think that was like a very early on, like early teenager Basha. So it was definitely a whole different time. But I remember performing after they performed, and I was so nervous. And I just remember somebody looking at me saying, "I can't hear you. Like, speak louder. I can't hear you." So it's crazy. And I did. And I, from that day, I always had that person's, I don't even remember how they look, but I just remember them pointing at me like, "I can't hear you." So I will never forget that. And so when I'm on stage, I project. When I speak clearly, I project. Now, there are times when I'm around my family and people that I speak very low, because I'm preserving my vocals, or I'm preserving my energy. But when I'm on stage, when I have a mic, I project. I will never ever not, because of that one experience, my first time performing. And after the performance was over, me and my best friend, we actually got into a confrontation with one of the party promoters, and we winded up staying at her brother's house in the Bronx. It was actually my first, like, no doubt, like, New York experience, and I love her for that because she's still my best friend to this day. Even though she's not Muslim, and I pray that for her, I want that for her. We had some, she knows me, she knows who the parts of me that are good, even without seeing me become all of this, she knew, which is so beautiful, and I see that in her. So even before I became Muslim, she saw my light and she saw the beauty that God gave all of us. And I just think she's the dopest, like, woman, because she's so empowering and protective of the women in her life. And so a part of my mission and a part of my vision, a part of my message was always to empower women. And little did I know how that would grow. And now Allah would transform it into something so beautiful, something so beyond my understanding. And I'm still learning to this day. Alhamdulillah. May Allah guide us to what He loves. Thank you guys so much for listening to this episode. And, you know, just continue to be on this journey with me. I'm taking you through the story and the journey of a young Black Muslima that was just like trying to figure it out, trying to connect, trying to grow, trying to expand, trying to connect to her essence, to her kun fayakun. And as I reflect and as I'm reading to you guys, because these are things that are written, I realize that certain, like the stories, as I expand on it with you, obviously wanting to make sure in its essence I'm having a conversation with you, but at the same time, this is my story. This is all written. This is all real. This is everything that happened. And I think, like, even in this transition of my life, wanting to change my name at this point, I feel like this side B, like, it's just like B as it is, like, exists, and it's reminding me of the spaces that I wasn't able to, like, really, like, I backed away from. And I'm wondering if that was smart or if I should just go on, continue with the journey Allah has me on. So I'm still learning. Be patient with me, because I ain't even going front. Like, I really do miss, like, performing and being on the mic and rapping and emceeing and singing. But there were some reasons why I had to step away, which I'll talk to you about as the story unfolds. Jazakumullah khair for listening to this episode again. May Allah reward you. May Allah increase you. May Allah give you Allah. Continue to show you what He has for you. May Allah be the only writer of your story. The only one with the pen. Because if Allah is the only one with the pen, and you allow it, and you embrace it, because Allah genuinely is, even if you didn't want it or didn't realize it, you will be able to understand how beautiful and blessed you are to be able to be a servant of Allah, to be able to be a creation of Allah, and to be able to worship and love Allah. Alhamdulillah. Can't wait to connect with you guys next time on this journey from hip-hop to hip-hop. You are listening to a young Black Muslima. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.